Hi, hello, loves. Special hello to my love, Jeff, who is not a ghost, by the way, on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, it is the annual ghost show, and all right, the lines are stacking up. Good, good, because I'd hate to think that one of your favorite shows is no longer one of your favorite shows. That would make me feel very, very bad, very neglected, very on my own, and I don't like that feeling. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And first up, we have Paul in Hamburg with a ghost story. Paul, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Sir.
I didn't see a ghost. It's a spirit that was in my house. And how I know
I did not understand. I didn't understand your first sentence. You did or did not?
I didn't see a ghost. I saw, I heard, I smelled a spirit.
You smelled a spirit. Okay, we're having some overlap issues. You're not trying to interrupt me. I'm not trying to interrupt you. But sir,
cherry tobacco.
Okay, can you please put this man on hold, because explain that we're having overlap issues and this isn't going to work. He needs to wait until the question, then answer the question, and then maybe just you'll work it out, Tanner. Figure it out. Here's Helen in Lancaster on WBEN. We'll get back to Paul once we explain the woes of cell phone overlap. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Yes, ma'am.
So I live in a 173-year-old house. And back in the day when, you know, people used to die in their homes. So at one point, there's a couple different things. At one point, I was redoing a room that was basically a drying attic and turning it into a bedroom. And I had a little 10-pound terrier dog who started barking at a corner. I never saw anything. I never saw anything blaze, hum, shimmer, or anything like that. But what I did was I explained what my plans were for the room. And as soon as I did that, the dog stopped barking and everything was fine. So that was kind of weird.
I'm sorry, you did what? Can you just explain again what you did to rid yourself of the dog staring at the wall?
I just explained what I was going to do to the room, that I was turning it into a bedroom, and that I was just moving things around, and we're going to redo the ceiling and things like that.
So, okay, how did we know, or how do we know that the dog wasn't simply comforted by your voice?
Because I kept asking him, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And he wouldn't stop, and he was staring at that corner.
Now, how do we know that a rabbit or a rat didn't die behind the wall, and he smelled something, and that's why he was staring at the wall?
Well, he never did it again. He'd never done it before.
Huh. So is it your belief that something, you're moving stuff around, triggered some energy in the house to manifest itself, as often supposedly happens when people are about to do major renovations?
Possibly. I was ripping up asbestos tile like they used to have in the old schools, and underneath that were newspapers from 1920-something, whenever Prohibition was about to be repealed. It was the... So it dated back that long. And you knew my husband, Kevin. And when the day that Kevin passed, a smoke detector just started going off, like would not shut up. So I was already pretty upset anyway. And I took the smoke detector down, opened it up to see if there was a battery or anything like that. I pulled the battery. It still kept going. And inside, I saw K plus H and the year that he had put it in. And then it stopped.
Oh. Has it done it since?
No, because, well, yeah, it did. And then I just took the console apart and just kept the lid. At another time, I was listening to CDs, and I had them open, as we sometimes do back in the day, and there was one from 20 years ago that a boyfriend had made a long, long time ago, and I turned to put it on, and the case went flying across the room. So I said, Kevin, it's okay. I can still listen to this.
Oh, my. So jealousy from beyond the grave?
I don't know. Somebody explained to me that they don't have those feelings, that they have more like they're trying to come through to let you know that they're there and that they're clumsy at first. And he's knocked several things off the wall. He's hidden things. And I just talked to him. I said, Kevin, come on. I really need whatever it is that I'm looking for. And then it'll appear.
Can you have Kevin come to my place, please, and find the missing car key? Because it's going to drive me nuts. So this is another example where you actually saw something flying, in this case, the CD case.
Yes.
Wow. Helen, that is super cool. And, yeah, I did know your husband, obviously. Now everybody listening to this, just so you know, I won't identify you, Helen, but I've known Helen for a very long time. Helen is a person of science, and for her to be telling us this stuff, I have to take this with a grain of a big amount of credibility, because this is not somebody who is prone to flights of fancy. That's a really cool story. Anything else that Kevin has been doing?
He's made TVs come on. I don't know. I talk to him a lot, and then sometimes things happen, or sometimes I talk after things happen, but especially in the garage, there's a lot of things. That's where, you know, he's spent a lot of time. But just things moved around. You know, I have security alarms and everything, so nobody's going to go in there and move things around. But it's just, it doesn't bother me. I just say, okay, Kevin, I get it. That's funny.
Wow. That's really, really interesting. Helen, thank you so much for the call. That's great stuff. How many other people listening have had things moved around? And see, she knows, or has reason to believe, that it was a loved one who died at home. And I know he died at home because I was there 2 days before he died at home. Let's go to Paul again in Hamburg and try this again. Paul, sorry about the misfire, but we have cell phone overlap. So go ahead and start your story over again, and I won't interrupt you.
Okay. I walked in my house one day and I smelled smoke, like cigar smoke, or it was cherry smelling. So I knew it smelled like a cigar because I don't have any smokers in my house at all. And it was by the back door where the porch is. So I went to I forgot about that, and I walked away from it. The next day I smelled it between the bathroom and the bedroom. The same smell. And I said, all right, you're out of here. Please leave. You don't live here any longer. Then I find out from my neighbor that he used to smoke cherry tobacco. The former owner smoked cherry tobacco in the back of the house on the porch.
Let me just give you a thought on that. Anybody who has lived around a cigar smoker, and my dad used to smoke cigars in the house constantly, or who used to smoke, smoke gets everywhere. It gets into furniture, it gets into the walls, it gets into the wallpaper, and sometimes when you're taking down wallpaper from years ago, amidst all the other smells that come along with taking down wallpaper, you know, you'll catch a whiff of tobacco. Are you sure that it wasn't a question of, oh my goodness, this is simply a residue?
No, I know it isn't, because when I moved in, I redid the whole house. I painted all the walls, and all the moldings are new and everything.
And no furniture was left behind by the previous?
No furniture. All the furniture is mine that I brought with me.
So do you still smell the smoke now, sir?
No. After I told her to leave, it left.
I wonder if it's that simple for everybody, where if you're being bothered by a spirit, you just say, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry. I mean, look, I'm in your space now. You're dead. I'm alive. I mean, I would just say, you can stay here if you want to be bored to tears and you don't bother me. You can stay here, but this is my house. Just don't screw it up.
It was just crazy, you know? I mean, I saw it like two times, and I knew that that's what I could say to it, and it would leave, so that's what happened.
Well, good for you. You're a natural-born exorcist. Except I doubt that was demonic.
Tom, I have another story for you.
Okay.
I always put my cell phone, I have an iPhone, I put it next to my bed at night to charge it. Well, one night I heard the iPhone going off. It was sounded like somebody was typing something into me. And I wasn't typing anything in that phone at all. I looked at his phone and said, "Love you."
Okay, that is super cool.
Well, wait, I tell you the rest of it.
Okay.
The next, I went to bed and I said to myself, "Oh God, what is that about?" So I let it go. The next night, and the same thing happened. It said, "I love you." Well, the only thing I can tell you is that my mother, before she died, I told her, my sister would tell her, "I love you, Ma," and she said, "I love you too." And I would say, "I love you," and she'd look at me like I was talking Greek. So I think from the spirit world, she was feeling bad about that. That's why she did it to me.
That is such a cool story. So the words "love you" and then the next night "I love you," were they in the box that you would see if you were typing in the message, or was it in the received box?
No, it was the box where I would be typing it.
So it was like a draft.
Yeah.
Oh, for how many nights did this continue?
Two nights.
Oh, man. At any point, did you say out loud, "Who are you? Who is this?"
I knew it was her, though. I just knew it was her because she was that kind of person that she would be upset when she never said, "I loved you" to me.
Okay, has anybody else out there had a situation where you get a message, possibly from a loved one and possibly from the spirit world, on your cell phone? Did your mom know how to use cell phones in the real world?
No. Never knew it. Can't tell the regular phone.
I guess what bothers me the most about this phone call is the fact that your mother's better with technology than I. And what's also striking here is you don't seem freaked out at all by this.
No, I knew how my mother was. She was a very strong person.
I wonder if your house, you know, I kind of wonder if your house, for whatever reason, is receptive to this kind of energy, this kind of activity going on.
I don't know. I haven't had anything else lately happen, so.
Well, keep us posted. Great call, sir. Thank you very much. And again, my apologies for the cell phone overlap, which sometimes takes place during the program. It happens. But thanks for hanging in there. Great call. Glad you did. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. In all of the years I've done this as a topic, that is the first call that I can remember where somebody in the draft message part of the cell phone message box had messages he actually heard the phone being typed. Now, that is pretty cool. See, if I'd have heard the phone being typed, I'd have looked at it right away, and I would have been, okay, this is super cool. Stuff like that does not freak me out. It just doesn't. I don't know why it doesn't. Let's go to Jeff in Ontario and get Jeff's. Actually, you know what? I'm looking at the clock, and it's going to be kind of stupid to get Jeff started, but I am a stupid kind of a guy. So, Jeff, before I put you back on hold for the news break, let me ask you a quick question. Is this something you heard, saw, or felt?
Saw.
Oh, okay. Well, will you hold on?
I can do that.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And what a lot of you guys don't know, but we have a lot of old farmhouses like Helen's in Lancaster, and I've been to that house. I never felt I did not feel a presence in the house, even after Kevin died. I did not feel a presence there, but apparently there is, which is extremely interesting. But anyway, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. If something would have gotten thrown across the room when I was there, I would have absolutely said, whoa. And I would immediately have thought, that's Kevin, and he is really upset that I'm here because he thinks there's something going on that ain't going on. It's 326 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Well, we're not busting any ghosts. We're not taking them into custody. We don't have the fancy machines they did in Ghostbusters, but it is the most requested show that I get all year. You guys had me a little bit worried the first hour of the show. I thought to myself, has this topic run its course? Is this like radio dating or radio trivia? But apparently not. Apparently it just takes one person to get the ball rolling. And it's difficult because I've never seen a ghost. I wish I'd seen a ghost. I may have felt one, but I was a little boy. And my grandfather died in a home on Mang Avenue in Kenmore. And I went to pee upstairs and was coming down the stairs, and I felt what seemed like a hand on my shoulder. And Grandpa had died in the house in which I had just urinated in the toilet, not like in his room or anything. The logical explanation is shoulder spasm. Yes, little kids can get shoulder spasms. So that would be the logical thing. And furthermore, if he wanted to make himself known, why not just show up? And it's just so bizarre. But anyway, we have a lot of people here. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get back to Jeff in Ontario, who has seen a ghost. Jeff, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Thanks, Tom.
Yes, my love. Tell us your story.
As I told you, the guy who answered the phone, I used to drive the 40-foot yellow demon wagon years ago, and I was heading back from Mount Hope to Ancaster after dropping off one bunch of kids to pick up another bunch of kids, and I was alone on the bus, and I just happened to glance up in the big rearview mirror on the bus, and here was a 9-year-old kid jumping from seat to seat to seat. He had a white shirt on, buttoned up to the neck, short brown shorts, brown knee-high socks, and brown scuffed shoes. And I knew right off the bat it was my dad, who had passed away a month before.
It was your dad as a little boy?
Yes, 9 years old.
Well, why would you say nine specifically?
That's the feeling I got. That's how old he. They say when someone dies, they go back to a happy time.
Well, I don't remember whether nine was particularly happy or not, but I've never heard that people go back to a happier time. That's news to me. And I have to ask you, could you see the entire person? I guess you could if you saw the face and the shoes, but could you see through him, or was it a solid mass? And then how long was he jumping from seat to seat, clearly trying to get your attention?
Solid. He just looked like a little kid that might have been left on the bus.
But you knew he was not a little kid.
Yeah. Even though I asked him to stop, he kept on doing it for another couple of seconds, and then he was gone.
So, how'd you get along with your dad?
Oh, great.
All right, so it was no strained relationship. You loved your dad. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier, though, for your dad to just show up in a form that would have been more readily recognizable?
I have no idea. As I said to your the guy on your who answered the phone, my wife's a psychic. I'm an empath, so they just show up to me the way they want.
You say they, as in you've had plural sightings.
I've only had one other sighting, but I've been physically grabbed by a ghost, and a lot of them are just scents, like smelling coffee on a truck. Like the one guy said, my dad used to smoke Borkenrip Cherry Cavendish, and that would show up in the house every once in a while.
And there was no heirloom from your father to which that smoke might have attached itself and just gotten embedded?
No, it was a fresh bowl of smoke.
Wow. Okay, well, let me ask you this. For people who have seen ghosts, and you know, you say that you are an empath, your wife is a psychic. Do you ever feel like your privacy is being intruded upon? For example, you know where I'm going to go, tender, intimate moments with your wife. I mean, I would hope that your dad would have the common decency to go to another room.
No. Dad has only appeared either on the bus, or I used to be an international trucker, and he'd ride with me. That will be the only time. She's never appeared at the house, although my wife did see my grandfather, who died the year after I was born.
And he I'm a little bit confused here, because you saw your father on the school bus as a little boy, and now you're telling me that you saw your father in the cab of the truck with you, presumably as an adult?
No, I never saw him in the truck. I could smell his pipe tobacco.
Oh, okay. All right. Very, very interesting. I honestly do not know what to make of that, other than it's cool. The first sighting to me is the coolest sighting, where he actually saw, you say, your dad as a little boy. And he did not pay any attention to you at all.
Nope, he was just having a great old time. I got a feeling it was just his way of saying, I'm better now, because he had bone cancer and he was in a lot of pain when he died, and he was quite happy where he was.
That's really interesting. So, I mean, for you, it's a cornucopia of ghosts and paranormal stuff. I'm still waiting. I wish I could turn around right now and see a ghost, but I've never seen one.
I should put you in touch with my cousin Bill. He's a paranormal investigator down in New York and Pennsylvania.
Oh, I know plenty of paranormal investigators and people who are allegedly good at this stuff, but, I mean, I did get the two EVPs. I mean, I got to give myself some credit for that, but I've never seen a ghost. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And every time I do this show, I have to bring up that this is kind of a funny story. It'll be very quick, but my mom had her grandmother die in the house in which my mom grew up, because grandma lived with them. So one morning, it was a Sunday, my mom opened up the bedroom door to grandma, realized grandma was dead in the bed. So what did my mom do? In typical my mom fashion, she says nothing to anybody and goes to church. A few weeks later, she was taking a field trip at the Buffalo Zoo with her school group. And she saw her grandmother on a bench at the Buffalo Zoo, full body apparition, and watched as she slowly dissolved into nothing. My mother doesn't believe in this. She saw a full body apparition, the holy grail of ghosts, and she still doesn't believe in ghosts. You want to explain that to me? Is that denial? Is it rationality? I don't know. My mom would not tell a story that wasn't true, except maybe the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, and a few other things. The Tooth Fairy, even as a kid, used to freak me out. Like, what does the Tooth Fairy do with all these teeth? It never made sense to me. But then again, I've always asked questions. Let's go to Diane in Buffalo on WBEN. Diane, thank you for holding. And we're doing the ghost show because who knows what's going to happen between now and Halloween. You're on WBEN. Hello. Diane, it is your turn. Go ahead.
Actually, we lost Diane, Tom. So we're going to go to Donna in Williamsville here.
Oh, okay. Donna, we lost Diane. That sounds really ominous. Like, Diane, please, Diane, call back because now I'm worried about you. Okay, Donna in Williamsville, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Good day, Tom.
Good day. What have you seen? What's going on? What do you know?
Well, I had a very strange experience that I would call paranormal. A few years back, my husband and I went to visit our cousin Tom in Michigan. And he had a home on one of the smaller lakes in Michigan. His father, Uncle Bob, had passed away several years before that. So it was a beautiful day, and we were out on a pontoon boat in the middle of the lake, just enjoying the day. When we're the only ones on the lake, and we see a float plane coming in for a landing on the lake. Mm-hmm. And just to preface that, Uncle Bob was a very avid builder and flyer of radio control airplanes, one of which was a bright yellow float plane. And this plane that day that happened to be coming in was a bright yellow float plane. And it landed on one end of the lake and, slowly started taxiing up the lake. And we're like, wow, this is kind of cool. So he taxied down to the end where we were. He wasn't that close, whoever was flying the plane, kept a distance of maybe 50 feet or something, but made a point of coming down to where we were and taxied around our pontoon boat. And we were like, wow, this is really strange. Doesn't that look like Uncle Bob's float plane? And we were a little, it was kind of weird. And so our cousin Tom, who's Uncle Bob is his dad, he took a photo of the plane, and the plane lingered for a little while and then started to taxi back up the lake and, proceed to do a takeoff. And when our cousin Tom pulled up the photo on his phone, there was no one behind the cockpit.
Wow. And we're talking about a full-size plane.
Well, no, not an RC plane. We're talking a full banana yellow float plane.
Okay, so there is nobody at the controls. How do you know the person just didn't have the seat back and had his head or her head obscured?
Well, when the plane started going around us, we could see someone behind the yoke. But... it was a bit of a distance. Did it look like Uncle Bob? I can't say one way or the other. Probably not. I always knew Uncle Bob as an old man.
Right.
But after we looked at the photo, there was no one behind the oak.
Yeah, I mean, I got that. I mean, do you think, did Uncle Bob live by the same lake?
No. He lived in they lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Mm.
This home cottage on the lake that his son had was, you know, somewhat of a distance from where the family grew up.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I would say that just listening to what you're saying, I mean, it all sounds to me like coincidental, and I'm sure there's an explanation for the camera failing to capture somebody at the yoke or controls of the aircraft.
Well, I'll tell you, it stunned the three of us because this plane was exactly like a plane that he had actually built. And the fact that we were the only people, you know, there's a lot of lakes in Michigan, and they're not all that big, but they're big enough to land a float plane. And it was just sort of strange that we were the only ones on the lake that day, and this plane came in, made a point of taxiing around us, and then took off.
But if he wanted to be noticed by you, I gotta, you know, get the rational part of this in. If he wanted to be noticed by you, why not show up in the picture?
That's a great question. I don't know, but I'll tell you, that has stuck with all three of us to this day, that was some kind of sign or message or paranormal, if you will, that we experienced. Because
all right, I have to move on. I thank you very much for the call. So your close encounters with ghosts and the paranormal. The last caller strikes me as kind of a coincidence thing. I'm a little baffled by the photograph not showing anybody at the controls of the plane, but I don't know at what angle the photo was taken relative to the controls of the plane. Maybe the pilot had ducked down to pick up a cigarette or something. I don't know. Let's go to CJ in Buffalo on WBEN. Hello.
Hello. This may be nothing, but at my husband's memorial, he requested Paradise by the Dashboard Light as his closing song. It's Meatloaf on the Bat Out of Hell album.
Yes, ma'am.
And a couple days later, a bat flew into my house. Never had one before or since. And I think he was telling me that he liked the memorial, and it made me smile. And that was 5 years ago.
I think the big question is, what did you do with the bat?
Oh, I just opened the doors, and he flew into parts unknown.
Oh, I enjoy getting bats out of houses. One of my favorite things to do. Fishing net helps, just so you know. But no, I'd never hurt a bat in the house or outside the house, for that matter, because bats are great insect biters, and you know, our population of bats, although I think I've seen an increase lately, is not what it used to be. But bats are super cool.
Yeah, yeah, but, I mean, you don't want to hurt a bat.
I'm sorry, what?
You don't want to hurt a bat. Let them fly away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because they're more scared than you're ever going to be. I think bats are super cool. Even the one that landed on my wrist back, 2010, it was one of the most bizarre things ever. Of all of the people at Dock at the Bay, for a bat to fly onto, it flies onto me, thought it was a leaf, moved my wrist, and it flew away. And unfortunately, after having that encounter with the bat, I was advised very strongly by the health commissioner of Erie County to get rabies shots, which was a story unto itself. But very interesting story. The whole, I wonder how many other people have had experiences with birds, because, again, I can't tell you that this is a paranormal experience, but I find it interesting because my father and I, we had this thing, we had this joke about hummingbirds, and the day he died, or the day after he died, it was very close to the date of his death, I was backing the car out of my driveway, and a hummingbird, and this had never happened before, hummingbird gets right in front of me at the wheel of the car, stays there for multiple seconds, and then flies off. Exactly 1 year later, on the anniversary of his death, I was backing the car out of the driveway, and a hummingbird does the same thing. Now, that has not happened it has not happened since. It only happened twice. I would think if my dad was manifesting as a hummingbird, I would like to make this an annual event. I'd cook chicken on the grill.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I wonder how many other people have had experiences like that with birds or other animals. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. I'll tell you something, as far as poultry is concerned, I'm going to have a lot of very angry chickens with which to deal when I cross into the great beyond. gonna start growing feathers. Anyway, it's Bowerly. We're doing the ghost show that you guys love. So let's line up the phone calls if we can, heading into the news break, and I'll get to the calls ASAP right after the news, so I don't have to set up the topic again. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN.